Words on Water.
Hi, welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. This is Travis Loop, the host, and I'm here today with Keisha Powell. She is the commissioner of the Department of Watershed Management for the City of Atlanta. Glad we could get together.
Yes, finally.
I know how busy you are. I know how your schedule is. I'm glad we could find a time. We've passed each other at all these different water conferences and everything, so... we're at the Affordability Symposium in Washington, D.C. So, Department of Watershed Management, that's a bit of a unique name for a water utility. What's the story there?
Kind of a bit before the time of this tremendous push for one water approach, which I think many places, certainly in California, have been pushing for a long time. Before Atlanta... the utilities were not always managed under one department. When the city of Atlanta got the consent decrees in 1998 and then a second in 1999, then Mayor Shirley Franklin thought that it was a watershed moment to create one department that would manage the water services of the city that she believed were inextricably linked. And that is what a watershed is. It's a geographical area bounded by hydrology where you have water resources that have to be managed and should be managed with a one water approach. So a bit of foresight. And now as a large regional utility, we're responsible for drinking water services, wastewater services, and stormwater management, which we refer to as watershed protection. And we're trying to push the envelope on what it means to be a watershed management department and a regional utility.
Very interesting. Yeah, like I said, I haven't heard that name for a utility like this before. So. Atlanta's a huge city, big city, population-wise and size-wise. Yeah. So how many folks do you all serve?
We serve 1.2 million customers a day.
Wow.
We're one of the 410 large utilities in the U.S. Yeah. And this morning, as you said, we're at the Affordability Conference or Symposium in D.C. And this morning I was reading through some of the material for the conference, and in one of the lists, there was the top 25 largest cities in the U.S. Mm. And it's a bit misleading because Atlanta's always cut out of that list because as a city, we're not as large as the top 25, but we do make it to the top 50 list when you see that report that Black & Veatch does, because our rates are right up there with the top 25 cities. And so many people think about Atlanta as a region, and we are a part of the metro region, but the city is a little smaller, but our customer base extends outside of the city.
Yeah, and just the metro area of Atlanta, just from a population sense, it's got to be one of the top 10 cities in the U.S. when you look at the metro area population.
Yeah, definitely.
So I wanted to talk to you about your, kind of 5-year, $1 billion capital improvement program. This is a huge commitment. There's a lot of pieces to it. Mm-hmm. It's fairly new, really an ambitious plan. What brought about that, putting a plan like that together?
The city had invested or has invested over $2 billion complying with the consent decrees to the point where there were very little resources left to invest in anything else. Though the city did make investments in the water system as well during that period. But getting the extension to the second consent decree allowed the city to then dedicate resources, financial resources, to addressing other infrastructure that needs investment, our water distribution system, water treatment plants, our wastewater facilities, which are in significant need of investment. And, you know, the current CIP that we're working on, which is a five-year CIP, is really a smaller piece of the larger need that's been identified. Our current CIP is $1.26 billion. The larger need that was identified under our master plans in 2013-2014 was over $8 billion.
Wow.
And so...
that's one of the largest numbers I think I've heard.
I think of many places when they look at their long-term needs, it's right up there.
Okay.
But certainly, as we move forward and we're completing projects, we completed several significant projects this past year. We also ramped up our capital spend since the heyday of when we were hot and heavy with sewer improvements under the first consent decree. Did we spend the amount of money that we're spending each year? We were about $100 million a year. And in the first year of my being with the department, we ramped up our spend to a little over $300 million. And we've been able to sustain that activity because we're really focused on getting work done. We've got water mains that need to be replaced so that we don't have the repeat breaks, and then we've really got to invest in our facilities, particularly our wastewater treatment facilities.
I note that the largest project within this plan is the water supply program, $300 million project to build a 5-mile conveyance tunnel, transport raw water between Chattahoochee River and the Hemp Hill Water Treatment Plant. Yeah, why is that one of the centerpieces of this?
Well, we like to say that we're securing Atlanta's future. The metro region that we serve is projected to double its population over the next 10 to 20 years.
Wow.
And, of course, for the service area that we have, we've got to think about how we're going to continue to serve those customers and make sure that we have the water supply to serve those customers, but also from a resiliency standpoint. Our area has gone through these periods of drought, significant drought, and then extreme periods of rain. So we're managing both. And, we were in a significant period of drought, for some years. We're in a sustained period of drought for 2016-2017. But prior to that, the former mayor said we're moving forward with getting this project done, and it will ultimately become the centerpiece of the West Side Park, which will be the largest park in the city's park portfolio.
Wow.
So it'll be an asset to the city in a number of ways, but Mayor Bottoms is continuing on with this project because she understands how important it is to be able to serve serve our customers in the future, and to make sure that the city is as resilient as it can be. Mm-hmm. So this will increase our emergency water supply from a week to 30 days or more, depending on water conservation efforts.
You made a few really interesting points there, and that's the idea of Atlanta dealing with drought. A lot of people think drought is a Western issue, Southwest issue, Texas issue, but I remember Atlanta being in national news a number of years ago for really being in a pretty dry and a little bit desperate for water.
Right.
So that's it's amazing. And with climate change, you know, it's just become more unpredictable about when rain's coming, when it's not.
That's right.
I love that the idea of taking large water infrastructure projects and making them a community asset from a park standpoint or a green space standpoint or whatever it might be.
Right.
That's a great benefit.
It will be. And, we hope to achieve some educational benefit from it, to continue to educate folks on the value of water. So they don't just see it as a large hole with water in it, but they actually see the value of having, and that it is part of our water infrastructure. And I think this, community engagement, the stakeholder engagement that we did around this project, of course, going through the naming of our tunnel boring machine, which is Driller Mike. Setting a Twitter account for Driller Mike where he flirts with the other lady TBMs around the country.
Oh, that's funny.
But at the same time, informing the community of his progress. He's 4 miles through a 5-mile trek to drill the tunnel that will bring water from the Chattahoochee River to the quarry. Of course, repurposing or reclaiming some infrastructure that was there, the quarry, which was no longer used. The city had the foresight to purchase that property and repurpose the quarry as a raw water reservoir.
Connected to that, one of the other parts of the plan is really work in the Upper Proctor Creek watershed.
Yeah.
So I understand there's a big investment being made there, especially focused on water quality issues and sewer overflows and erosion and so forth. What's that about?
So Proctor Creek is special because it's the only watershed that's wholly within the city of Atlanta. The headwaters starts in the downtown area of the city, which is a combined sewer area. There's been significant flooding downstream through the Proctor Creek watershed, but also some significant water quality issues, significant issues with trash and tire dumping and those things that impact water quality. There was a CSO facility there that was decommissioned, and we plan to make use of that property and do some improvements that will make that community more vibrant under our upcoming projects that we won the opportunity to do an environmental impact bond for under 100 resilient cities, the Rockefeller Foundation.
Okay.
But Proctor Creek, we have been working with Army Corps of Engineers on a feasibility study to improve the ecology of Proctor Creek. We'll also be doing some flood hazard mitigation work in Proctor Creek. And then we're also doing the EIB projects. But we identified over 100 project opportunities with a price tag of over $100 million for just the Proctor Creek watershed. And we manage 10 watersheds in the city. And so we have this tremendous head start with Proctor Creek, but we're also looking at how we now move forward and use the same formula, if you will, of partnering with external stakeholders, private philanthropy, to get projects done around the city in other neighborhoods and communities that have the same flooding issues. There's not a single neighborhood in the city that you don't see some kind of flooding or some rain event.
Interesting.
It impacts the whole city, every council district. So moving forward, we knew that we needed to take a bit of a different approach with our stormwater management program, actually own the program because there's parts and parcels that are with other agencies or departments.
Sure.
So we're owning that and moving forward with an integrated approach with our Clean Water Atlanta Consent Decree program, as well as our Green Infrastructure Strategic Action Plan, kind of bringing those efforts together. And we'll see that in the Proctor Creek watershed, where right now we're looking at how do we optimize green solutions and lessen the out of sight, out of mind gray solutions. And one example is Cook Park. It's similar to the old Fourth Ward Park Pond, capacity relief pond that has been nationally recognized.
I haven't been there, but I've seen pictures and drawings, and it's just like, it's a work of art,
right?
It's beautiful.
And it works.
Yeah.
hopefully you see the pictures when it's inundated. And that's another learning opportunity for the folks that live in that community, because they see this as a beautiful park.
Yeah.
But when it rains, there's no more flooding. It's all contained in that capacity relief facility, and there's beautiful green infrastructure there. But there are places through that facility that we use as an opportunity to educate people that come through there. We'll do the same with Cook Park. Yeah. So that's just one solution that in a series of projects that we're doing to reduce the flooding or eliminate the flooding in those neighborhoods. Yeah. Historic Vine City and English Avenue, folks talk about a lot, but those are very neighborhoods that suffered some disinvestment over the years. So we are very happy to be part of the investments that are taking place on the west side of Atlanta.
Yeah. For folks that haven't been to Atlanta, the terrain kind of surprises you a little bit. Yes. It's more hilly than
it surprised me when I moved there.
You don't think of those cities in the southeast being quite that hilly and undulating, and so I can see how you get water flow in all kinds of places you don't really want it to go.
Absolutely.
On green infrastructure, and I've known for a number of years about Atlanta's embrace of green infrastructure, and that's also something that through this capital improvement plan that you're going to be just doubling and tripling down on. You're going to be really addressing that stormwater runoff and looking to expand green infrastructure. So I was wondering if you could talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah, so the city has one of the most aggressive post-development stormwater ordinances in the country. Mm-hmm. We actually require green infrastructure for development projects. And our friends in site development just did a presentation recently. And in their slide deck, they had all of the top excuses that folks come in with as to why they can't achieve these things on site. And they've already gone through all of the responses and are willing to help folks comply and see how they can achieve it on site. But that has helped tremendously to reduce runoff as well as improve water quality. But we have to be able to do more in the public right of way, right? So that's private property. And we developed a green infrastructure strategic action plan, which incorporates every agency just about in the city, including Public Works and Parks and Recreation, and even the Department of Aviation. Hartsfield-Jackson has a focus on green infrastructure. So even though they're not in the city, just leveraging those partnerships and having that thought across the board that we want to be a more green and resilient city. That's very important to the mayor. It's also very important to the mayor to make sure that we achieve equity in the infrastructure investments. And when we looked at how we could support her platform of equity and affordability, it's really about not giving every community the same solution, but giving them the solutions that they need and want to make sure that they're on equal footing for economic development opportunities and other things. That when we rewrote our green infrastructure or updated our green infrastructure strategic action plan last year, we made sure to include the thoughts about equity. This is also an opportunity to do more workforce development and bringing folks in these communities into the projects in a real meaningful way. So there's so many benefits to focusing on green infrastructure. And then we have the perfect opportunity because we still have areas of our city that are combined sewers. So it makes sense for us to look at how we maximize the use of green, particularly upstream. And then, of course, for the rest of our city that is separate sewers, we're doing green infrastructure there as well. We'll be moving forward with the Green Infrastructure Challenge, which will engage external stakeholders again, including students. But we really have to get folks educated on the issues and get more folks comfortable with the use of of this of these types of solutions, more vegetative practices.
Yeah. I know the Water Environment Federation was happy that Atlanta recently hosted a training for the National Green Infrastructure Certification Program.
Yeah.
So just those seeds of that program are starting to get out there. And because, you know, installing and especially maintaining green infrastructure, it takes a special knowledge and skill set. So
yeah. It takes a special knowledge and skill set, but it's not so far reaching that folks that live in the community that really are your best monitors of how effective the practice is, or whether or not it is being maintained, can be brought into that and have opportunities to really contribute in a way that helps them as well.
Sure. I guess lastly, this is a, you know, there's a lot of investments, there's a lot of projects, there's a long-term vision here. How do you get the community bought into all of this? How would you say your, you know, ratepayers, customers, the citizens feel about all this? How do you do that outreach?
You know, outreach is very important. Whenever we do surveys, the one thing that continues to rise to the top is communication. Folks want to know what they're paying for, where the money is going.
Mm.
You know, we have to get folks out of the mindset that we're a cash cow and we sit on all of this money that we collect. We're not a for-profit entity. All of the revenue that we collect goes back into the services that we provide and the people that are providing the services. And many of those people live in the city of Atlanta. And certainly within our service area. So that's important. This afternoon when I'm talking on the panel about affordability, you know, we have to also explore the nexus between affordability issues and workforce development and being a bigger part of that as a solution. But I would say to get the community bought in, we have learned from our work in the Proctor Creek watershed and some other places that it's important to engage the community early and often. There has been a paradigm shift in terms of how communities want to be engaged to in the projects that are going to be executed. There are many folks in these communities that have a very sophisticated knowledge of the work that we're doing, and they have the ability to contribute that knowledge. There are folks there that want to be part of developing the solution and implementing the solution. And so it's important to make sure that we have those discussions early and kind of open it up and take their feedback. That's one way. I would say the other way is to make sure that people are not afraid of the solutions that we're implementing, particularly where green infrastructure is concerned. What we learned from Old Fourth Ward Park Pond was that although it drove $475 million in economic development, which is a great thing, it also was part of, there was a feeling that because of those investments, people were displaced from their community. Mm-hmm. So as we move forward, we're always thinking about how we're going to protect the fabric of these communities. And the best way to do that is to make sure that you engage them as you go along with the planning and implementation of the projects.
Fascinating stuff. Well, like I said in the beginning, I'm glad we finally had a chance to catch up. There is so much happening in Atlanta. I encourage listeners to use the internet and check it out and look into it. And if you're in Atlanta, go see some of the stuff, especially that Fourth Ward Park. It's an incredible example. But yeah, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you for having me. And thank you for continuing to be another outlet for voices on these issues.
I appreciate that.
One water.
That's right.
Words on water.